Welcome to the StorageTalk TPC for Replication update. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. During the question-answer session, to ask a question, please press star 1. And as a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Drummond, Worldwide Storage Software Sales Enablement. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Don, and good day to everyone. Today we're going to take you through an update of TPC for Replication and then a little bit of interesting news about TPC for Replication and system automation at the end of the presentation. Also, I have with me, I'll be interleaving speaking with my partner, Randy Blay, who is the TPC for Replication architect. So let's move to slide 2. I'm going to go over a brief overview of replication technologies. Then I'm going to go over a couple of product overview charts, and then Randy will dig in a little bit deeper into some of the key features and how they work. I'll come back and talk a little bit about some of the resources, and then we'll dive into a new announcement that we made between system automation from Tivoli Software and TPC for Replication to allow some automated failover a la geographically dispersed parallel sysplex style for distributed systems. And then we'll close and have a Q&A. On slide number 3, I'd like to just point out most people are aware of all the different needs for replication. There's more than 100 reasons why you may need to have a recovery scenario, not the least of which are disasters, but there are many other reasons why you might want to be doing recoveries. But if you focus on the 3 bullets to the right, recovery times must be repeatable and reliable, because when you're doing all your business planning, you want to have your expectations met and be able to save as much time as possible, because time equals money in recoveries. The solution must be scalable. We do have customers that have hundreds of thousands of disk volumes that are replicated. So TPC for Replication is one of those scalable solutions. Others may not be. And then the last point is something that a lot of people don't think about. That's testing of your disaster recovery. It must be affordable and nearly continuous. And that's where one of our new features, practice volumes, allows you to test whenever you like, not just on the odd weekend or at an odd time during the day or night. All right, move with me to slide number 4. The storage replication management status today is that we have a lot of people that are writing manual, they're using manual procedures, or more likely they've written scripts on doing replication between different DS8000s, sand volume controllers, ESS800s, etc. And these scripts are written to the individual person's desires and own logic. When someone else tries to maintain those scripts, they may or may not understand them, they may not be documented appropriately, etc. So by avoiding writing homegrown scripts, we can help your company out over the long term. Additionally, initial setup of your copy services, especially when you're in a large environment, can be fairly complex. And if you don't have all of your thought processes automated, then sometimes maybe a lesser trained person could make the wrong choice for you, and then you would have issues with your recoveries. So that's one of the things that's wonderful about automation for this, is that you're able to set all your decisions up before disaster recovery and then have them play out automatically without human error injected into the process. And then also we provide you with a good way of being able to monitor your progress in this. Additionally, we provide you with a consistent way of doing your management between all your different servers. Okay, on page number 5, what we're doing is we're managing the instant copy, your Metro Mirror, which is synchronous copy, your Global Mirror, which is asynchronous copy, and a combination Metro Global Mirror, which is having synchronous between site A and B, and then asynchronous to get outside of a region between B and C. We provide you with a centralized console to be able to monitor your entire environment for replication. And the three items that are in blue are the most three most important values that I like to highlight, which is help simplify and automate complex replication tasks, and that's a la the chart that I just went over prior to this chart. Allows testing of disaster recovery at any time using package volumes. And this is wonderful because now what you can do is you can do your disaster recovery testing while you're there during the workday and not interfere with your regular replication tasks, your production replication tasks. So this is a good thing to do. And then we provide end-to-end management and tracking and monitoring of all your copy services. And you may have thousands of hundreds of sessions going on with thousands of volumes going on. And one of the last bullet that I wanted to point out is that we're able to manage the replication from the server of your choice, and that would be the mainframe ZOS or also distributed system. So we can have your TPC server and the high availability backup server on either ZOS or on AIX, Windows, or Linux. And I'd like to just point out this one thing that's been a point of confusion with some people, that is we can, with either server, manage ZOS data being replicated or distributed data being replicated, because essentially what we're doing is we're managing a track-to-track copy, and we just don't care what data is on that track, whether or not that track is formatted with extended count key data for ZOS or fixed block architecture for distributed or open systems. Okay, let's take a look at slide number six. We've got some copy services that are out there. There's a flash copy, which is a point-in-time copy or a snapshot, if you will, within the same storage subsystem, and we manage that. Then the three off to the right that I mentioned before, the Metro Mirror and Global Mirror and Metro Global Mirror type of things. Those are pretty good for business customers. Most people do Metro Mirror because that's fairly simple to crank up, and it preserves all your transactions. There's no data lag in terms of time as there is with asynchronous mirroring. And with Metro Mirror, depending on your application, you can go up to about 300 kilometers or so. Global Mirror, of course, go around the world, but you have time differences between your primary volume that's your primary site and your remote volume, which could be 13,000 miles away or so, actually a little bit less than that, and then that might be several seconds delay in the data arriving there. Metro Global Mirror I mentioned already. Okay, page seven is just a pictorial of flash copy. You can see in the bottom right, we're going to refer to these devices, site one, site two, and then we have an H1, H2 relationship, and then Randy will be talking about those in some of the different charts. And I'll just make mention that flash copy on the IBM devices has a lot of different variants. For instance, there may be a space-efficient flash copy. There may be a incremental flash copy, a copy, no copy. So there's a lot of different variants, and TPC for Replication works with many of these variants of flash copy. Okay, turn the page to slide eight. We have Metro Mirror is supported on the 8000 ESS 800 and SAN volume controller, or at least TPC for Replication supports those functions on those devices. And you can see that we've got a couple different pictorials down at the bottom. On the left is a failover failback solution that's in graphics, and then on the right We have a Metro Mirror with indicated also with a practice volume. So this would be what I'd prefer our customers to be doing, having continuous practicing on whatever their cyclical need is for replication testing. Okay, change to slide 9. So global mirror support, and again, we have single direction, or we have failover failback, and then we have global mirror with practice volumes. On slide number 10, this is a slide I like to talk about, because when you talk about availability, and many people, you know, talk about business continuity or availability, there's a couple of different components that make that up. One of which is high availability, and that's where one of the things that we provide is if you get the ZOS server, we can manage something called HyperSwap, which is if you have two disks that are on either side of the Metro Mirror, then if one of the local disk has a problem, is an I/O permanent I/O failure, then the unit control block UCB will automatically switch over to the other one and preserve your application availability. On continuous operations in the middle, that's TPC practice volumes for application practice volumes, and that one is a way of being able to ensure that you've got your disaster recovery going well, and you can be able to do any of your practices anytime you want during the week. And then on the far right, we did already mention automation and simplification for disaster recovery. And slide number 11 will be the last slide that I'll talk about for a little bit. I'll just like to say that we do support the 8,000, also the 6,000 baby brother, and also ESS 800, and also sand volume controller. And we've done a lot of work for sand volume controller in the past few releases. And again, we manage from any type of server, we manage data from ZOS or also data from distributed. So it doesn't matter which one you buy. We just I'll point out some other differences, some other advantages if you buy the ZOS, but for all the data, we can do your basic stuff. All right. At this point, what I'd like to do is have Randy start out on slide 12 then.
Great. Thank you, Scott. As Scott mentioned in the beginning of the call, I'm the TPC for Replication Architect. So the next few slides, I'm going to go through some of the more detailed aspects of TPC for Replication. So on slide 12, you'll see some of the common tasks that we allow customers to perform. You can monitor the health of your replication that you've set up to make sure that your replication is still running smoothly and you're not you haven't lost your replication abilities and DR capabilities. You can list all the sessions, all the status of them. You can do the actions on the sessions if you have planned switches or recovery in the unplanned cases. You can add or remove storage systems, the logical pathing, create sessions, add copy sets, anything basically manipulating all these types of sessions that Scott talked about earlier. The flash copy Metro Mirror Global Mirror, Metro Global Mirror type sessions. So we're going to go to slide 13. Slide 13 is a demonstration of the scripting that Scott also mentioned earlier, that we went previously before TPC for Replication, customers had to do a lot of the scripting primarily through like DSCLI or a CLI type interface. On the left, you'll see as you're walking through the slides that those are the list of things in this particular case a customer would have to do to set up a global mirror copy on the DS8000. As you can see, there's a large number of steps from setting up all the pathing to setting up the actual global mirror session and the components on each of the storage systems that make up that global mirror consistency group. Well, TPC for Replication simplifies all that. You have to create the session, add all the relationships, but we persist those relationships so that when you actually go to do your commands, it's really a simple command. It's just a start command, a suspend, recover, or recover type command. And we, under the covers in TPC for Replication, will perform all those underneath steps for you. We manage all those those establishment of the logical paths, if you so choose, as well as the creation of all the individual relationships that may make up that the solution that you're looking at. On slide 14, this is an example of the recovery case. This is a better example because in the recovery case, if you can imagine, if it's an unplanned disaster, customers are going to be in a kind of panic, not knowing what to do. They're going to finally make the decision to cut over to the secondary site, and they don't want to have any issues in their scripting if they do that, right? So the more steps you have, the more possibility you have for errors. And TPCR simplifies all that with a recover command that will do all the things under the cover, such as making sure that you have a consistency group with the flash copies, with the commit and vert logic of the flash copies on DS8000, as well as performing the fast, what they call the fast reverse restore to get on the consistency group on your actual host volumes. Slide 15, this is just a summary task of the steps that we take, or you may have to take if you go through the CLI interface versus the replication one. So we kind of covered this before, but these are just seeing the numbers, you can see how drastically TPC for replication could help ease the management of your replication environment. So slide 16 is a pictorial view of all the relationships we mentioned earlier. Again, you got and it's split up by the type of hardware that's supported on. So on the top half, you have your DS8000, 6800, ESS800 support, which spans a large range from flash copy to metro mirror and global mirror. And the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see the three-site solutions. Right now, that's only supported on the DS8000, but you can see that we support both the regular three-site and a three-site with practice. So you have your ability to expand to a three-site environment there. And in the bottom right corner, you'll see the two-site SVC support. You have your flash copy, metro mirror, and global mirror. The SVC hasn't provided a way to do the three-site yet, though we will be adopting that if they do go to a three-site type model soon. All right, slide 17. This is basically what our GUI looks like. We are a web-based GUI, so you set up the server, and from any browser, any of the supported browsers, you can pull up the TPC for replication web interface and view and manipulate the sessions, as I mentioned earlier. So on the left-hand side, you can see that that's our navigator, and on the navigator, you'll see a mini health overview. We always show this on every panel, no matter where you traverse through the TPC for replication GUI, so that you can see what the health of your overall environment is. You can see that maybe a session went to a severe state. You'll see that right away, no matter what session you're looking at. You'll see if your storage systems disconnect or if your standby server for TPC for replication breaks a connection. You can see that from any state, and that's a highly visible portion of the GUI there. On the right-hand side, you'll see that's where anything you click on the navigator will show up. In this particular view, this is our details panel, where you can see the health of a given session from all the individual what we call role pairs, which are the individual pairs in the session, to the overall session, kind of everything kind of rolled up. We allow you to drill down, which I'll show you in a minute, but this is the overall view of a given session. In the right-hand corner of that, you can see what we call our dynamic image. This shows you basically the direction of the copies given your site and how things are going. So in this case, we actually have a Metro Global Mirror session, and the production data is actually on H2, and the copies going from the site 2 to site 1 all the way to site 3. You can see that view pictorially versus the table driven right below it, which is a little harder to image. All right, on slide 18. So slide 18, this is just an example of how you can monitor your sessions. I've already kind of gone over some of this stuff, but the role pair table lets you see how many a given role pair, in this case, it's a global mirror session. You can see that, you can see that the H1, H2 role pair, everything's good. The H1, J2, everything's good right now, and you're forming consistent groups because you're in a prepared state. Things are, you can, from a high level view, you can see everything's copying and moving along like it's supposed to be. Slide 19 is a feature that we put into 4.1 that allows you to actually view progress on a particular relationship or set of relationships. So the top half of the screen shows you what you'd see on the session details panel I mentioned earlier and showed you earlier. So at a role pair level, you can see that all the pairs within that particular site-to-site relationship will are at a given percentage or have a certain amount of remaining tracks to be copied. And as we will even give you a estimate on the amount of time left to copy that data. The bottom half is actually when you drill down. If you drill down to the role pair, you can see the individual pairs and their progress. So if you're actually stuck on the top half looking at 50% and you need to know down, you can drill down and see, oh, well, all of them are copied except this one larger pair, which is at 50% and stuck there because it's such a large volume. Drill down to that kind of level in detail. All right, slide 20 is some of the what we call the safety features that we've built in to protect users. We have user roles. There's a monitor role that lets you only view the relationships. You can't do any actions on any of the sessions or any administration-type acts. There's an operator, which is an administrator can define an operator so that that operator can only touch certain sessions. Those sessions, they can do any of the actions or operations on them, but they can't touch any sessions that they're not an operator for. And then there's the administrator who has overall capabilities across all the sessions and all the actions within TPC for replication. We have the concept of site awareness. Site awareness lets users specify for a given storage system a location name. This is a user-defined location name that they can use to match to a user-defined location name on the session that they've created. So you could create, for example, a Metro Global Mirror relationship that goes from Site 1 to Site 2 to Site 3, and you can name those sites through that for that particular session to say, oh, I'm going from San Jose to Tucson to New York, so that a customer, when they're adding copy sets to those sessions, make sure that they don't add a storage system that they've defined to be in Florida for one of the role pairs that are in that particular session that they define. It gives them that ability to make sure that they don't incorrectly specify hardware for in the wrong place. We have volume protection, which allows customers to specify given volumes that are on storage systems that were attached to TPC for replication that they do not want to be in any kind of replication role. So by marking these volumes as protected, we will not allow through TPC for replication them to add them into sessions, and thus we would not be able to overwrite them with any data or manipulate them in any way. And lastly, we have the command and action warning prompt. So anytime that you go to issue a command against a session, we will prompt you and say, hey, this is what you're about to do. And we'll give you a pictorial view of it in most cases where it will show you you're about to switch the direction of the copy. Are you sure you want to do that? And this protects the user from accidentally kicking off a given command when they didn't mean to. We also, along those lines, have when you do the recovered and you're switching over to a new site, we put in a protection where you actually have to say, do a command to TPCR to say, now I'm running on this site, let me reverse the direction of my copy before we actually let you do that start in the opposite direction. This helps prevent customers from accidentally clicking the start H2H1 when they really meant a start H1H2. All right, slide 21. This is the practice volumes that Scott mentioned. This is a really important feature for a lot of customers out there because when they set up their replication environment, they need to plan that for when a disaster occurs. There's a lot that is involved when they actually cut over to a new site because of a disaster. You have to set up your host. You have to make sure that all the networks are correctly functioning. And it's at the time of a disaster is not the time to realize, oops, I didn't do something. I didn't set something up right. So what practice volumes let you do is through that TPC for replication session, you can do what we call the flash command, which will pause the replication temporarily, create that consistency group on that remote site, and flash it off to that set of volumes that you can then use to play with and practice with. But as soon as we do that flash, we restart the replication. So once again, you're DR capable. But while they're playing with it and making sure everything's working, they're still protected and have that DR capability in case a disaster does occur. Some of the key things, I mean, it allows them to test their environment, provides them with the consistent data on that secondary site, even though they remain DR capable. It gives them that additional set of recoverable data in case something happens. But the primary thing is it allows them to practice exactly like they would in a disaster. So the what they practice, all the hosts that they connect to, all the volumes, everything they do, all the mounting of volumes that they do, all those scripts and steps outside of TPC replication are exactly the same as what they would do in a real disaster and have to do with the recover command instead. All right, slide 22. Because replication is such a key role in a customer's environment for business continuity, we provide a concept of a TPC for replication standby server. This allows you to set up multiple TPC for replication servers where that you have an active one and a standby one in case that active one fails or is part of that disaster that occurs on the primary site. So if you lose access to that active server, you can switch over and do what we call a takeover on the standby server and begin managing those copy services and that session on that secondary site. It's still that graphical user interface. It's the same interface, but once you do that takeover, you can then do your recovery if you need to or handle anything issues that you may need. Slide 23. So this is where we get into the ZOS side of things. So as mentioned before, we were supported on Linux, AIX, and Windows, but we also support running on a ZOS platform. Some of the benefits are that a lot of customers are running on Z and deem the Z a very reliable platform and stable platform. Other benefits of it allows TPC for applications to take advantage of FICON connectivity versus IP. IP can at times fail on customers and cause issues, but for FICON connectivity, it's a little more reliable, and we can take advantage of that when running TPC for replication on a ZOS platform. In addition, when you're running on ZOS and using that FICON, we have the capability to enable the sessions for HyperSwap. We have three different flavors of HyperSwap. We have a basic HyperSwap solution, which is an entitled solution on the ZOS platform. We have a Metro Mirror with HyperSwap solution, which does that same Metro Mirror with HyperSwap as the base HyperSwap. However, it adds in your DR capability as well. So the basic HyperSwap only lets you do that, protects you if you have a write IO on that primary site, it will cut over to the second day. But the Metro Mirror with HyperSwap case is if you pay for the two-site license, you'll get the HyperSwap plus the ability to handle disasters such as link failures, et cetera, where you'll need to do a manual recover over to the secondary site. And lastly, we have that same flavor of Metro Mirror with HyperSwap, but we have extended to the Metro Global Mirror with HyperSwap solutions. There's a lot of ZOS administrators that have a lot of experience with copy services, particularly in the financial districts, and thus they are able to manage the ZOS environment easier when setting up TPC for replication. And it's a consolidation. Lastly, it's a consolidation of the disaster recovery and business continuity platforms on Z as an enterprise hub. All right, slide 24. So this is the HyperSwap solution I mentioned just a minute ago. We support that HyperSwap when running on Z on both all the 8K, the 6K, the ESS 800, and it can be command-driven or by event-driven. So it can be command and event-driven, but it can also be done through the ZOS console itself. In other words, TPCR could be down, but you could actually instantiate it once set up through the ZOS console as well. So it provides them breaks them from having that single point of failure. So HyperSwap, what it does is basically switches over to second site automatically with little to no application impact if ZOS detects that there's a write failure to that, a read or write failure to the primary subsystem. It's scale, designed to scale to thousands of volumes. You know, typical ZOS environments are very large, and includes all sorts of volumes, PKD volumes. As I mentioned earlier, it's very non-disruptive to applications. It's meant and entitled to be so that the application doesn't even know that anything happened. It causes that switch, and the application keeps running just fine. It's integrated with the ZOS 1.9 environments and provides that high availability. And I mentioned it has that we support the Metromirror and the MGM HyperSwap and the basic HyperSwap solution. All right, slide 25. So I think I commented on some of these already. The HyperSwap benefits, it's integrated with your 1.9, ZOS 1.9 platform, and it's a single point of control for all your remote copy type relationships that you set up. It handles both unplanned and planned HyperSwap scenarios. Only is there disaster-type situations where you can't talk to your primary or you have primary disk errors. But you also have planned cases where the HyperSwap lets the customer do a migration to another site with little to no impact. They can swap back and forth between sites based off the requirements of their business. They have status and planned actions, so we facilitate those primary disk swaps for those planned and maintenance-type situations where they might have to do some sort of maintenance on a site, so they do that plan swap. All right, slide 26. This is going over some of the new function that we provided in our 4.1 release. We added in global copy support, so in a Metromirror relationship session, you can actually switch it to a global copy mode. There's situations where customers can move into a global copy mode where they don't need that DR capability, but the global copy lets them not have any application impact, so it lets them do that switch a little bit easier and go back and forth. We provide a global mirror direction, two-site direction. Right now, previously before 4.1, our global copy solution was only global mirror in one direction. This solution provides it global mirror going both directions in case you have to go back and forth between your sites, as well as adds in that practice volume on both your sites. We also added in HyperSwap in 4.1 to the Metro Global release and practice to the Metro Global. And we support the DS flash copy onto the PPRC primary, which they call the preserve mirror option on the DS8000. We started entitling WebSphere on the ZOS or basic HyperSwap solution. We added the enhanced progress reporting I showed you earlier to show you the amount of copy tracks that remain to be copied and the progress that the copies are making. And we've integrated with TPC to have that single sign-on and launch in context type support between the products. In 4.1, this is slide 27, 4.1, now we have the Metromirror with HyperSwap solution. That's when we added in the DR capabilities to HyperSwap. We added in the ability to not need a IP connection when running TPCR for ZOS, TPCR on ZOS. Previously, before 4.1.1, you still had to have an IP connection to discover some of the devices and volumes on it. But with 4.1.1, we can go straight FICON and get all the information we need through the FICON interface, thus enabling you to see things such as Hitachi storage devices and manage other devices outside the realm of the IBM storage. We support 800 as a primary on the TPC for MGM set, TPC for replication MGM session, both with and without practice volume solutions. This lets customers put an that have the primary site still on 800 or older hardware still do MGM type solutions across the multiple sites where they have 8000s on their newer sites going across. And with that, I think I'm going to turn it back over to Scott.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's change to slide 28. And this is a look at the TPC for replication family. We start out with the TPC for replication two-site is the first product that works. That's a distributed server product. So. And then we also add in the three-site business continuance product. I'll point out that TPC for replication for the distributed servers, Windows, AIX, and Linux, are the top two products, and they are ordered through Passport Advantage, and you'll be able to find those quite easily. We have the TPC for replication for System Z products. I'll make mention that on the top two, the distributed server ones, those actually install as part of the TPC overall product, but you still have to order and pay for them separately. But they are installed. But TPC for replication is installed with TPC, and you need to buy the license key to turn it on. The TPC for replication System Z products are done via a different installer. They're on ZOS. It uses something called SMPE, and it uses a different configurator. So this is the point of confusion for some people. People call us and say, we can't find how to order your either basic edition for System Z, which is the freebie for doing the hyperswap management for base, hyperswap in the base, or the full function TPC for application for System Z, two-site or three-site, the price feature off that. You need to call your tech line in order to get them to use and order this through the CFS web software configurator. It's not part of the regular hardware configurator or Passport Advantage. It's only available through the CFS web configurator, which TechLine in the world runs. On slide number 29, this is just a pictorial of what I was talking about. This is an older chart. You've seen this, but in this case, I've slid the top TPC for replication over to the left, indicating that it installs with Standard Edition, but it's still a separate priced product. And then the Z products are again, a different process and need to be ordered separately. All right, moving to 30, we have some information that's actually shared in between TPC and TPC replication. So TPC will now be able to monitor those items that are listed there, whether or not you're looking at the connection information or the volume is defined, et cetera. Those are all shared information between the two. Like TPC, TPCR sends alerts out, so you'll be able to monitor any issues that are there. And as Randy mentioned, we do have the single sign-on capability now. All right, now on slide number 31, I want to have Randy take you through a little bit of our vision.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Scott. So slide 31 shows you how we really want TPCR to be the driver for copy services for IBM solutions. We support on the bottom half, you'll see what the hardware we support will be moving to try to support XIV, et cetera. But on the top half, this is showing you the different products that we want to try to move towards and try to support. We've with the green side, the green solutions show you that we've integrated with them. The yellow ones is a future type item, and then green yellow is what we're really basically working on right now. So we've done basic hyperswap and some TPC integration, and in later slides you'll see how we now are integrating with the Tivoli System Automation Application Manager. And in the 4.2 release, we'll be integrating more with the DR Planner of the TPC product. So there's a lot of different products out there at IBM that use replication across your hardware. And we really want TPCR to drive towards being that product that lets you handle the replication so that those products don't have to handle the business logic that goes with it. So, go ahead, Scott, slide 32.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'll just like to point out that on slide number 31 that this is no promise for these enhancements to be done in the future, but these are the directions that we're going in. All right, as a summary of TPC replication before we get into the system automation foils, I'd just like to say that Everyone needs to have all of your customers need to have deep sea for replication if they're doing any level of serious replication on the 8000, 6000, ESS 800, or especially the San Juan controller. So I would definitely pair this up with anyone that's getting into replication, because it can really help them out of a jam. I know that if anyone is doing Metro Global Mirror, I would almost automatically order this for them, because the complications in recovery are so great, it's almost beyond human ken. So I would really also pair that up with anyone that's doing that. Okay, on if you flip to slide 33, here's a couple of links for the sales kits. And then also we have quite a list of deliverables that are out here that are available to you. And, of course, you can always find on slide, keep on to slide 34. And then this is a little bit more about what I was arguing about or talking about in terms of ordering the system. I will mention that I didn't say this, but if your customer wants to order the Z server, they can also use Shop Z. But most people ask the IBMers to order the Z-based TPC for application server, so they need to go through the CSFW and TechLine. What I wanted to mention was on slide 35, you can always come to myself and ask questions, or John Foley, who's going to be one of our Q&A participants as the marketing manager, and we have a lot of resources to help you. All right. Now, what I'd like to do on slide 36 is we had a recent announcement out of Tivoli Systems Automation that included linkages with TPC for replication. So look at slide 37. I'm sure that most of you have seen Tivoli whiteboarding. This is one of the things where you link your storage assets down at the bottom up with your business up at the top, and then you have the IBM service management structure in the middle with the configuration management database, and then collecting all the information, putting into the CMDB, and then reporting off that with problem change, and then doing other type of service management processes. On the left, one of the things that you need in order to take care of storage is automation. And Tivoli System Automation Application Manager is the new announced upgrade that we wanted to talk about today. And that links in with TPC for Replication, which is managing your storage over on the right-hand side. All right, on slide number 38, the systems automation portfolio, what we're trying to do is a takeoff on the visibility control automation. So monitor control automation is our strategy in Tivoli, and we're trying to ensure that all the policies that the business sets actually are used in order to automate and run tasks with the system and the applications, and try to ease the manual task that many of the applications require. Okay, at this point, let me just say a couple more things, then I'll turn it over to Randy. On page 39, this is just a view of the linkages. We did some tests at GAD, and you can read the quote down there where the automation and the application manager allowed us to do failover and failbacks for over 200 Linux LPARs and save a three-person user scripting effort. So this is quite a value for people. And so I just wanted to point the quote down at the bottom out. On slide number 40, so this is a something where we haven't really mentioned, I did mention a little bit, but we haven't really talked about geographically dispersed parallel sysplex, which is on the ZOS, and it enables entire sysplexes on ZOS to fail over and fail back. We're trying to replicate some of that capability in the distributed environment. I know there's GDoc, but this is another way of doing things also. So if you take a look at the middle major set of bullets, so what we're trying to do is trying to provide end-to-end disaster recovery, and we're providing a single point of control to actually manage those application and storage replication during site switches. And we want to do this for planned and also for unplanned. All right, at this point, what I'd like to do is, on slide 41, have Randy to pick back up.
Great. Thank you, Scott. So on slide 41, we see basically a planned site switch scenario. The operator in step one determines that they want to do a planned site switch. So you see site one on the left, site two on the right, with SA Application Manager managing the whole environment and all your applications. So Application Manager knows and can stop that application, and then because it's integrated now with TPCR, it can talk to TPCR to tell the hardware to stop the replication and cut it over to the new Site 2 so that then Application Managers can restart those applications, but now on Site 2. So it helps automate the whole planned site switch and makes the overall solution a lot smoother for a customer. Because as you can see, the environments and the type of stuff that they manage get quite complex and difficult to use. On slide 42, these are just the next few slides. There's some sample slides of how to use TPCR in the Application Manager product. It's integrated as a new domain, an extension of the end-to-end domain. Which is a key point of this is that it helps the customer see that whole end-to-end type solution. But here's an example of how you see it show up as the connectivity information as that new domain. Slide 42, it just shows you that what that looks like. You have your TPCR replication. You see the replication session in that little circled area under that replication reference. Slide 44 is just describing what is a replication reference in application System Automation Application Manager. Really, it's the same basic functionality as a resource reference. However, it has that request online, request offline, which basically means start the replication or stop the replication. You can do the suspension, resumes, et cetera. It provides that the TPCR domain and that defined end-to-end policy. Slide 45 is showing you how it can handle the direction of the switch relatively easy. It shows you what direction it is currently moving in. Let that customer make sure that they know what site they're on and want to switch over to the right direction that they want to based off that planned switch. Slide 46 is basically the pricing and packaging type information. So this is showing you what the regular System Automation Application Manager pricing structure is. But in addition now, what we just announced is that Distributed Recovery Manager add-on to it, as you can see here in the licensing agreement. And I believe that's it for the Application Manager. Scott, do you want to take over?
Yeah. On page 47. I'll just mention that some of my colleagues in sales enablement, Doug Gibbs and Glenda Lyon, are available for more on systems automation. If you're specifically interested in more depth information about the application management for system automation, then Subhayu Chatterjee is the expert on that. If you're looking for technical enablement, Joachim down at the bottom is a great guy to chat with. That's the end of the slides that I have. I'd like to just make another comment, which is TPC for Replication is a product that fairly mature now, and I'd like to see a lot more customers using this because this is a gem, and it's not as well known as it could be. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure that we got out in front of all of you and alerted you to some of the values of this. All right, with that, what I'd like to do is we're going to do some Q&A, and I'd like to turn the program back over to our operator, Dawn, at this point.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. You'll be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
I'd also like to introduce a couple of our additional panelists besides Randy. We have John Connor, one of the product managers, and we also have John Foley as our product marketing and he's on the line also.
And John Foley here. Hey, Scott, one thing I'd like to mention while we wait for those cues to come in. If you like what you've heard and your customer has an SSPC and you'd like to approach your customer and offer them a free 60-day try and buy, that is available, and I think that's a well-kept secret around here, not that we want it to be, but I've had very few people take advantage of that, and I'd like to see more people take advantage of that. If their customer has an SSPC and want to do a try and buy, it costs them nothing to try this out for 60 days.
Sweet. Thanks, John.
Yep.
Okay, we do have a question from the phone if you'd like to take it.
Yep.
That's from Steve Salt. Your line is open.
Thank you. A question for Randy, please.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Randy. If you can go to slide 27, for mixed environments, not just IBM, your HDS comment piqued my interest for a particular situation I have, which we can take offline if you want. So I'm curious about the HDS support, and I'm reading between the lines. I may be completely wrong here, but the HDS support that you talk about there is, I assume, is when TPCR is installed on the ZOS server and you are going through FICON, it is not there through TCP/IP?
Correct. So only when the Hitachi system is in a AK mode, right? So it can act like an AK, and that's why we can take advantage of that FICON connection.
Right.
So now Hitachi is the one that's actually announcing support for TPCR. So that's why it says there that you need to contact the Hitachi data system. It's not something that right now TPCR is driving. It's coming from the Hitachi side.
Okay. Okay. I may give you a shout offline to follow up on a couple of things then.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Don, do we have any other questions at this point?
Not at this point, but once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and clearly record your name.
So I'll just mention that... John Connor, I'd say that we have a fair roadmap ahead of us for TPC replication, and we're going to continue making a strong investment in this for a while.
Yes, that's absolutely the case, and more to come.
There you go. So I'd like to everyone to just understand that we view this as a key and critical portion of our overall combined Tivoli and SDG storage portfolio. So, Don, are there any other questions at this
yes,
point?
We do have another question from the phone, and that's from Bradley Titt.
Hi, Bradley.
Hello. Does this meld with TPC for ACS and all that other stuff?
So that would be TSM for ACS.
Oh yeah, sorry, TSM for ACS.
Yeah, and TSM for ACS is TSM for copy services have now been changed into a product called Flash Copy Manager, Tivoli Flash Copy Manager, which is a separate function to help integrate your flash copies in with your either TSM data protection modules. Or your volume shadow copy services if you're doing Windows type of thing. So that's a separate product. It does automation, but it's a separate product.
Yeah, and Scott, I'd like to make a point on that too. So Flash Copy Manager is going to integrate with applications to provide an application integrated with Flash Copy Backup for data protection and recovery purposes.
Right.
TPC for replication is also using managing flash copy functions, but it's at the device level and not at application or file level.
Right, that's what I was worried about, because I got some SAP stuff I have to do flash copy and global mirroring with.
Yeah, I would take a look at the definitely at the flash copy manager stuff for SAP.
Okay.
Right, but you can combine the two solutions, right? I mean, you could use that, if I understood you correctly, use the flash copy manager to do your flashes, but then if you need that global mirror copy of your of those targets of those flash copies, you can use GPCR.
You could set it up that way. There's no API between them, but you could set it up that way.
Correct.
So you can do a command line with TPCR?
Yes, we do have a CLI.
Okay.
Super. Great question. And that was Rich Anderson, the sales worldwide sales enablement manager that also jumped in. Is there, Don, I was wondering if we have any other questions at this point?
I show no further questions at this time.
All right. Any of the panel have any other comments that they want to make in closing? Okay, Don, thank you very much, and thank you to our audience, and have a great day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.